At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Stay tuned following Jeremy and Joe. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going? Happy Tuesday. We got some news.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, I was planning on talking about James Cook today. Didn't know if he would practice today, sign a contract, what have you. It's likely going to be James Cook Day with Hard Knocks coming out tonight at 9.
Right.
Lo and behold, Sean McDermott speaks around 9, says he expects Cook to practice. Conversations have gone in a good way. Things have changed, what have you. We have about 15, 20 minutes where we're like, but is he actually going to practice? And then, lo and behold, James Cook, back at practice, appears in full, and we'll see what goes from there. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Of course, that is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We will talk to Sal in about 10 minutes. He's over at practice. Get his thoughts on this whole thing. But I think right off the bat, Derek, we've gone back and forth talking about this, too, of this whole situation. It has been one of the weirder ones. It's never gotten as contentious as Trey Hendrickson or even what Micah Parsons is at, Terry McLaurin. It's never gotten to an official holdout like Trey Hendrickson and Terry McLaurin were, but it has taken weird turns. He showed up at everything he needed to in the offseason, showed up to camp, was an immediate participant and full participant.
Took 8 practices.
And then decided to hold in. And then on Saturday, it appears, due to a conversation between him and his coach, he decided, I'll warm up. I'm just not going to play. Now, that is a little less weird, having actually seen how it went down, because there was a lot of players that warmed up that were not going to play. I think Cole Bishop also was like in uniform, and he's limited today. But in a way, at every turn, James Cook, his representatives, or both, have taken the road less traveled.
To a point where I think the best word to say how this saga has gone is weird. This is weird now.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting to a point where you cannot correctly predict what is going to happen next. And not in a chaotic way, but just in a weird way. It's just not something that you're normally used to seeing. It's not, like you said, it's the road less traveled. It's almost unconventional in a sense of how everything has gone down at this point. However, there's a new wrinkle to all of this. He's suddenly not alone. Of course, he gets back to practice, but Cam Hayward in the Pittsburgh Steelers, we'll talk about that a little later. But now that's another person that started out going to practices and has now started a hold-in.
Yeah, and that's why that story has gotten the traction it has in the last few days, is because of how it's been handled, a lot like Cook. It's just, for me now, most of these situations, this would happen, and we'd be sitting here for the next 2 hours going, okay, what's the deal going to look like? A deal's been signed. Now we can't really say that.
Right.
Because he did practice for 8 days and then hold in and then sort of warmed up in practice or at the game and then didn't play and now is back. I mean, tomorrow he could begin the hold in again. And this was just seen as like goodwill. Help out the team a little bit, which is commendable in many ways, but also kind of not how you do this. And that's more my big thing. Number one, I think Cook's asking price is ridiculous. I think the $15 million is a bit much.
It's rich.
And don't give me that they signed a tight end for money. No, we're looking at the position's value. The highest paid running back per year makes $20 million. If you want to complain about that, that's fine. But Cook is not going to be the guy that is going to reset the market and get running backs back to where they were in the 70s and 80s, being the premier position. That is not going to happen. Cook was on the field last year for 48% of the offensive snaps. He is not one of their key pass blockers. He is not in pass pro. Ty Johnson, they openly acknowledge, is their preferred third down back.
Right.
He's not going to make $15 million a year. If that is what he has been dead set on and that they're not close to a deal, then we're going to be here for a while. I don't think he'll ever actually miss games. That is where you genuinely are ruining your career. Even his brother, Dalvin Cook, did not get to that point. He got his deal right before the start of the season, and he did make a pretty penny on it. His career just derailed pretty soon afterwards. He's more of a cautionary tale for teams, not for players.
And I think the other part of this is his contemporary. Kyren Williams, looking for a new deal. He gets a 3-year, 11 per season. There's no way you're getting more than Kyren Williams right now based on on-field usage. Are you still really going to stress on it has to be $15 million a year? Because the market is telling you it's not going to happen. Much like how it told you almost from the beginning. And you're supposed to set a higher number so that you can come down to a more median term. But the fact that there has been no deal done kind of tells me that there's a sticking point that his agent is really refusing to budge from. And considering the hot water said agent got in with the Shamar Stewart situation with Cincinnati and how all that was handled, I'm really starting to think that James Cook is getting bad advice from his agent. But it's good to see he's back at practice today. And yet, at the same time, I'm not as confident anymore in if it's over today or not. Meanwhile, HBO execs have got to be punching air right now.
Well, now this is what
they
I thought.
They are seeing James Cook practice, and there's like secretly a meltdown in a production truck happening.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone sees like an HBO production truck like shaking, that's someone absolutely pissed right now.
Yeah, the editing is going right to hell. Now, I think I think for the premiere, they handed in the finished cut at like 3 p.m. that day.
Yeah.
But to that point, like the perfect scenario for Hard Knocks is the Darrell Revis Holden when they did the Jets all those years ago. That's how they ended the season, was Darrell Revis getting his contract and arriving at practice.
Right.
That's how they ended it. Cook would be... I imagine tonight's episode is predominantly going to be about Cook's Holden.
Right.
Because not much else has happened. There's been a few injuries, but nothing major. They've already done the Harrison stuff. You'll have the first preseason game. That's about it. But if all of a sudden today, leading into the episode, we have a deal done, it becomes very old news very quickly.
Right.
And this is still a TV show for HBO. They still want ratings. They still want that to be high.
They want there to be some sort of drama because for Bills fans... I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. Bills fans will enjoy anything Bills related with the Hard Knocks thing. Like,
well, the Bills were boring on episode one, and we had a lot of people saying like that's what they preferred.
And again,
that's what they wanted.
But again, Bills fans love Bills content for Hard Knocks, probably no matter what at that point. The casual NFL fan calls this one of the most boring debut episodes that there is.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the first moment that you actually get a whiff of drama... Cook is practicing again? What the hell?
It's also one of those of like, welcome to covering a good team. Who, for the most part, and I mean, you go back to even Bean's comments on our station, 9 years is the first time he's had one of these situations. The Bills are really good at getting their business done. They avoid a lot of drama. They usually move off of guys a year before it's a problem. And even the Stephon Diggs stuff was more drama of, did you adequately replace him? Is the receiver room going to tank? Is the offense going to tank? You can say what you want about the receiver room. They did average 30 points per year last year. The offense did not fall off a cliff. Is that all due to Josh Allen? Is a mix of it with James Cook as well? It's up to interpretation. It's how you feel about it. But that's like been the most drama they've had, especially out of season. In season is a little different. They've had some, you know, tight wire seasons. 2021 is one I think about, and 2023 as well. But for the most part, their off seasons have been relatively boring.
And considering the unconventional hold-in that has already happened as it is, the fact that it could be done within a week, mm-hmm. of their, like, they hand in their production meeting and he's back.
Yeah.
Or they hand in the production on this thing, the last bit of it's taken care of, and then he's back at practice. It's like, what are we doing here?
We'll see what happens, though. Let's go to the Western Hotline live from practice. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, we have a new wrinkle with James Cook. He's back at practice.
Yeah, good wrinkle, right? I mean, James Cook is here. He's out on the practice field right now. I posted a little while ago. You can take a look at him. He is in the flesh and blood uniform, helmet, shoulder pads, everything here with James Cook out at practice today. So, obviously, that's great news for the Buffalo Bills.
Now, on Cook, and Sal, me and Derek have talked about this, it almost feels like at every turn, Cook, his representatives both have taken kind of the road less traveled, whether it be to start practicing, then to hold in, showing up to everything, even though everyone knows you're looking for a new contract, what have you. In years past, this would be a signal that there is probably a deal done, that we're kind of all waiting for the notification, here's the terms, and let's ride. I can't totally say I feel that way after, you know, the past few months with Cook. Not to say that's a negative. I just can't say for sure, at least personally, that a deal has probably been done.
No, I mean, I don't know if I could get that far with it either. I think that this is just him practicing and him talking with Sean McDermott on whatever their conversation was about him getting on the field. And we have no indication about anything with contractually. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying it can't happen anytime in the next day, hours, whatever. But we have no indication that's the case. All we know is today James Cook is practicing.
And, Sal, that kind of leans into the whole mystique of this hold-in in the first place and the contract situation altogether. We don't know what's going to happen next at this point. Not in a chaotic way, but it seems like this has got to be one of the more unconventional contract situations that we've seen in the league in a couple of years.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I haven't gone back and studied every hold-in in the league and how they lasted or how long they've gone on. And I know Cam Hayward's going through something right now in Pittsburgh as well that's making news. Look, we don't know what's going on behind the closed doors at One Bills Drive. All we know is what, you know, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have kind of been telling us. So it feels to me like, you know, given Sean McDermott's kind of indications here and what he's been saying about go time and getting guys back on the field and how important it is, him having a conversation with James Cook, it feels like, okay, James has made his point and the Bills also need him to practice. So, I don't know if it's any different or not different than most hold-ins because I haven't really studied them because the Bills have never gone through this, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and that was, and Bean said it on the station, that it is 9 years. This is the first time it's happened. So it's kind of, it is somewhat, you know, untested waters. Sal, we also got a bit of an injury update today. I think it is really good news for the Bills and for the fans to hear that Cole Bishop is going to be limited today. He took part, I believe, in the warm-up on Saturday before the game. A number of players did that didn't ultimately end up playing. But Bishop, it really does feel like he needs to get back to practice. He missed most of training camp last year. He's missed a good bit of it this year with a quad injury. It's got to be a great sign that he's at least somewhat back.
Yeah, for sure. And I see him right now. He is in uniform, and he's out on the practice field, so he's going to be limited today. That's great news, obviously. Same with Taylor Rapp. He's limited. I see him right here on the field. He's in uniform. Curtis Samuel and Alec Anderson, guys, both were actually doing stuff with trainers. I'll have a video of that later. We got to wait on that. But I'll show you that they were off to the side in uniform with trainers doing some things. And just so you know, James Cook is on the field for, you know, his not only individual but team portion as well. So that's good. But, yeah, getting guys back that are limited is obviously very encouraging. And that's exactly, you know, what's happening.
Now, Sal, for this week, we do know the Bills are going to be doing the joint practice with the Chicago Bears. That is going to be later on this week, correct? So how does the practice schedule actually go for this week?
Yeah, so they'll be on the practice field today. They're out there right now. And then tomorrow will be pretty much the same. Carbon copy tomorrow, regular practice, training camp practice. This is still considered training camp. I know we're back here in Orchard Park, but they're still considered training camp. And the team, we get, as a media, we get to watch everything. And then Thursday, the team will charter to Chicago. Friday will be a joint practice with the Bears. Sunday night will be the game against the Bears. And obviously, that's preseason game number two. We'll see how much the starters play again or if they do or, you know, whatever's happening with that.
And on
Sean McDermott did not give an indication, by the way, today of anything with that. He was asked about Josh possibly playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On Sunday, he said, we'll see. And obviously, that could also be determined about what kind of work they get or don't get done in Chicago on Friday.
And on joint practice, Sal, I've been of the opinion that I think coaches prefer those over preseason games. I don't know if it's unanimous around the league, but I do feel like joint practices are becoming a much more you see it much more than in years past. Is that the feeling you get, or do coaches prefer kind of their in-house work and then they play the preseason games?
You know, it varies from team to team. I think there was a time where I saw a lot of them, and then we didn't see any for a while. I think they're coming back now. Teams are getting, and part of the reason is, guys, you only get three preseason games, no more four, right? I think that's part of it. You get an extra day of work, like a kind of a fourth preseason game. You have a full roster to evaluate. That's part of it. But look, this is an individual choice amongst coaches. The Bills haven't done one, hadn't done one in a while, and then all of a sudden they did last year. They are doing one this year. The Bears are having two of them. They had one last week against the Dolphins. They're having one this week against the Bills. Every team is different. It really is. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have indicated many times it's about trust, having trust with the other team to get the work done. You don't want to go out there and everybody's just fighting all the time and you're getting nothing done. And it's not productive and it's risky. That's not the goal of these joint practices. It is to get work done, having guys go against other people, other teams, seeing different offenses, different defenses, different styles, different individuals going against you. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what the numbers are as far as individual joint practices. I feel like they kind of were really popular in the early 2000s, and then they went away for a while. I feel like they're coming back now, but I do think that might be a product of having three preseason games instead of four.
And Sal, to go further on that, I do believe that its popularity also has to do with there's a degree of control still that live action won't give you, in particular, quarterback hits. You're able to protect your quarterback, but get a lot of live reps as you would. And I'd imagine, especially for the Bears, having one last week with Miami and now this week with Buffalo, a good way to get Caleb Williams up to speed.
No doubt about it. And especially with a new head coach, right, and Ben Johnson, and a new, you know, he's the offensive play caller and a head coach. So that's an entirely new install. And it's interesting, like, this is what I mean by it's everybody's individual. He's different. Like, to me, okay, the Bears, hey, have a new play caller, a new head coach. From the outside, I'm like, okay, don't they need as much time on task with his own coaches? But they feel it's more beneficial to go against another team. So I think that's just so different for every team. It varies from team to team, and everybody's got their own reasons why they want to do things. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes forward, but we know the Bills will be in Chicago Friday for a joint practice. I agree with you about, though, the control, the quarterbacks. Friday, you don't hit the quarterbacks. They'll have red jerseys. So you can get Josh Allen as much work as possible and hopefully stays out of harm's way. I mean, obviously, guys are flying around trying to beat their man around the edge and all that. But you don't touch the quarterbacks. And then, you know, once you get to Sunday, all bets are off because it's a preseason game.
All right, Sal. We'll let you get back to practice. We hear anything, you know where to find us.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on... Seems to be a positive update on the James Cook situation. He is practicing. We don't know if this means the hold-in for all of it is done. There still cannot come to an agreement on a contract. We talked to Sal right there, and both of us kind of feel the same way. Derek, I know you feel the same way. Because of how this has gone, unlike years past where you'd see this and go, where's my Adam Schefter? Where's my Ian Rapoport notification? I'm just waiting on those.
You're waiting for the contract to drop.
Yeah. It's not that anymore. This could, I think, just be goodwill. It could just be, you know, I held in for a little while. We're having better talks. We'll get back to practice. Think about
Or it could be you played your last hand and you lost.
Could be that. But, I mean, we talked about it last week, too. Could this have been they were having good talks, and they hit a wall, and that's where Cook pulled himself. And it could be the good talks are continuing again. All right, I'll get back on the practice field. Again, a little bit of a goodwill thing of I'm not here to hold in. I am here to work. But I need to get my deal. It still could be that. We do not know the inner workings of the negotiation. The only thing that really stumped that was when Bean spoke on our station, he did make it sound like they weren't that close to a contract.
And furthermore, it does seem to be conflicting reports on that. Like we saw it from Diana Rossini mm-hmm. of The Athletic of, you know, they're not very far off, everything like that. I look at it as you played your last hand and you lost. Why? Ty Johnson looked really good on Saturday.
Right. Well, you all thought it was going to be Ray Davis, but instead it was Ty Johnson. They didn't look bad.
It's the Bills going ahead and saying, we can do this without you. You're either here or you're not. And you could see, like, you could really get the palpable agitation that McDermott had talking about it on Saturday, being asked questions about it. It is to a point, I think it is. We're moving on without you if you're not back.
Yeah.
That could also be it. Like, there's so many different ways you can look at this and go, okay, he's back at practice today. Why? And the answer is we don't truly know. And we're never really going to know unless somebody actually says something publicly. And I doubt that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are so many different reasons you could posit for a theory.
mine is you played your last hand and you lost. The team's ready to move on without you. You better get back on the practice field.
Well, and on that, too, I mean, we've talked about this for months.
Because then you're costing Cook. Yourself millions.
Yeah, but I mean, we've talked about this for months with Cook. He hasn't really any leverage. Yes, this is the last year, and if they don't do something, he'll hit free agency. They could franchise tag him.
Right.
And if he really wanted to start missing games, which I think if he really was missing games, he'd have to come back by week 12.
Yes.
He'd have to play at least six games. Cool. Do that. And then if they want to, they will franchise tag you. And if you don't sign that, we're at the Le'Veon Bell situation where, cool, you're just going to hold out and that you're not going to get the money you wanted. Just flat out, you're not going to, and it's going to kill your career.
If you skip one regular season game, you're losing yourself millions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it outright.
Well, especially a rookie deal and a running back rookie deal.
That's how running backs it's going to work at this mm-hmm. point. You've seen how it works.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold out into the season, the Bills are a good enough offense that they can move on without you. Will they be third in the league, second in the league? Maybe not, but they'll be good enough because you have the NFL's MVP at the helm.
Well, but also, too, if on Cook, you better hope they're not, because if Ray Davis is even close to what you – and by the way, he put a little over 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns. But what if Davis is a little over 1,000 yards and like 12 touchdowns because he gets to the goal line too? Or it's just a mix between him and Ty Johnson.
What if it's a mix between the two of them where it like 800 yards and 600 yards?
Yeah. And they're just fine.
It
all of a sudden is, again, where is your value? It's not – to me, it is just – it's not $15 million. He is not a good pass blocker. He's on the field less than 50% of the offensive snaps on a season. He's not even their preferred third down back. I brought up the Josh Allen quote a lot. It's not him trashing Cook. It is just they are telling you how the Bills feel about the running back position. They like to do it by committee. There can be your A back. There can be your number one. And James Cook is their number one.
They have a tendency to draft one almost every year.
But that's the thing, too. Ray Davis is, what, a third-round pick 2 years ago?
Fourth-round
pick 2 years ago. But guys like Bucky Irving were fifths, and they've immediately taken over as starting roles.
And the Bills have invested high picks into multiple running backs in the past as it is. You're not even the first one in this regime.
No. You're the first one that's maybe had an honest conversation of, should we pay them?
Yes.
But I'm with Sneaky Joe in the morning. Until I see it, I don't really believe they're going to do it or want to do it.
I think it's also, I don't know if it's a want. I think it is acknowledgement that they cannot afford it long term. Even in a couple of years, because you're still in a very tight window here that you've got the best of Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me they acknowledge that they are not going to be able to afford him. And maybe they want to and they try to get things done. But I don't know. It just seems to me like a front office that acknowledges that they don't have.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The cap to go forward to meet the demands of Cook and his agent.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Your thoughts on the James Cook situation? It does appear to have taken a good turn, but no word yet on if the deal has been met. He is, though, practicing in full as the Bills get back to work. They play the Chicago Bears this Sunday night for preseason game number two. Again, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
I would say so. I would say so that things have changed. And yes, we've had conversations with James, good conversations, as I've mentioned before. The information that we're getting is that he is moving in the direction of practicing today. So see you in a few minutes here, but that's the information we've gotten.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott before practice, and ultimately it did lead to James Cook back on the practice field in full, in pads, the whole thing. So it's not just him hanging out there, stretching, what have you. He's out there. Does this mean, though, a deal is imminent? Or it's just another kind of awkward, weird turn in what has been kind of an awkward and weird negotiation for James Cook to get a new deal.
And there's a bevy of ways you could think about this. You put it up on the good old Twitter of why do you think he's back? And the theories should be there, bountiful, I would say. Different ways that people would think why it's happening. And I guess that's kind of the beauty in it is that we could talk about it in a more positive light of why he's back at practice instead of why he's holding out. We all know why he was holding out. Or holding in, excuse me. But we know why. This, it's like, it's almost as if the mystery of it and the intrigue is far more fascinating to me. Why do you think he came back? It's all so fascinating. But at the same time, glad to see he's back at practice. That's something everyone can agree on.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know if it's truly over.
No, because, I mean, that's how this has been for both positives and negatives.
Right.
It's been very different because, I mean, we mentioned it, too, during the mandatory minicamp part of the offseason where it was, is Cook going to come in? We've seen the national reports. I mean, it was either Adam Schefter or Ian Rapoport. I can't remember which one it was. Outright saying, I don't expect Cook to be in Buffalo anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, he's in Buffalo for mandatory minicamp. No issue. That's right. A national guy that should be completely locked in, at least with the agents. And it didn't matter. He was in Buffalo. Then we get to training camp. Okay, is James Cook going to play? That's the only interesting storyline for Hard Knocks to lean to. And he's playing. Okay, he's practicing. But only for 8 days before the first preseason game, he's pulled himself out of practice. To a certain extent, a complete shock to everybody. It was
right.
A random Sunday practice. Everyone thought it was a vet rest day. And it was only when people went up to talk to him did we find out that he was holding in.
Right. Because everyone, like, maybe it was you're a little banged up because everyone else has been. What else is new? Nope. It is because of business. And you just made a face, and I'm going to complete my point before I get to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also because of the fact that this has been as weird as it has been that I'm definitely going to say this right now. I have no appetite to do this again in March. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
No appetite.
Zero appetite to do this again in March. Thank you very much. If you hit the franchise tag on them, I'm going to be more mad at the Bills than I am at Cook.
That would be their first time doing so since Cordy Glenn. And with that being said, it'd be their first time with Bean at the helm.
Right.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. James tweets in, a theory. Because of the contract situation, Cook is being extra sensitive to any nicks, soreness, and bruises he might have beyond what one might normally take time off for. That could also play into the Bills maybe not totally knowing where this is going because if he wakes up and like, oh, my leg's just a little, I'm not practicing. I'm not doing anything.
I'm going to use the business side of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Again, theories are fun because he's back.
I think that also probably would just be like maybe one of the right ways to do it. Is like, I'll practice. If I feel 100%, I'll practice. The moment I feel 99, because we're in a contract situation and because of the position he plays, this is your likely one big deal. This. And I know that's probably why, as much as I'll, you know, kind of fight back on it, why he's probably pushing for a higher number and seeing how much it can come down. Is because this is probably the only big contract. Other positions can get two, maybe even three contracts. Running backs, you look at the first one after your rookie deal, and that's kind of about it. After that, you hope to maybe get a 1-2 year deal, a lot of guarantees up front, and that's it. So Cook, and I think James might be spot on here, might be extra sensitive with how his body's feeling because if he botches this, And I say that as that it's not anything necessarily him doing wrong, but if he just picks up a high ankle sprain,
it's over.
Anything, it could really derail the entire process to him getting even close to what he wants.
Even half to what he wants.
He may want 15. He picks up a high ankle sprain, misses a few weeks to start the season.
You're looking at 7, maybe.
You know, and look, do I think he's worth around what Kyren Williams is? Yes. Kyren Williams is not nearly as an explosive of a runner. You even look at their yards per carry. It's not even close. Cook blows him out of the water. But he is on the field 90% of the time for the Rams. They ask a very different thing for him. Yeah. That, I think, could be a play into it is that it's just anything goes wrong. And we brought up with preseason. You said, like mentioned, like this could have been his last hand. Chai Johnson did not look bad, and he's already their preferred third down running back. That high ankle sprain. He missed, for argument's sake, it's a high ankle sprain. He misses the first 3 weeks of the season. What if Ray Davis, through three games, has 280 yards rushing and two touchdowns? Like you mentioned, you're looking at $8-7 million because it's like, oh, well, this is the guy we drafted for.
Right.
Now he's cheaper, and this is why we drafted him. He's your replacement, dude.
Yeah.
Done. Thanks for being a loyal soldier, the whole thing, but we're moving on now.
We're moving on. And I think that's the message anyway, is we're moving on. It is going to be a matter of how do you utilize Cook this year and see how both parties can benefit from everything. At the same time, though, you're still going to use Ty Johnson on third down.
Yeah, well, that, and that's
they're still
the crazy
going to use
part.
Ray Davis for the offense, probably the punishing
really
situations.
Change. Yeah,
and James Cook is still going to be the. And this is the thing about Cook. He's really good at a lot of things. He's great at the explosive play, but he's not the best at a lot of things, even in the running back room.
Mm-hmm.
He's not your most punishing runner, though he's gotten better at it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not your best third down guy. He's not even your best pass catcher out of the backfield. It's Ty Johnson. But he is consistent across the board, except for pass blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, somebody else is the best at that. Power running, I would probably think they'd want Davis in that situation more than Cook. It really becomes this strange, like, almost bad timing. Like, Brady's everybody eats slogan also kind of plays into the backfield a little bit.
Well, I mean, yeah, you look at the touches for Cook. They go down pretty aggressively from 23 to 24. His total touches, because we're also bringing up him as a receiver. In 23, he had 281 of them. Last year, he had 239. You know, his yards per touch went down a little bit. His yards per target went down by almost 2 yards.
Right.
You know, in terms of the targets, they went down pretty aggressively. That's the thing that he did get much better at. He caught the targets he was given. 38 targets, 32 receptions. The yards, though, went down 2 yards. His touchdowns went down by 2, even with, you know, him having a pop-off in the rushing category. The thing he was sort of drafted for,
he hasn't really shined at.
He's never really been that guy. Even his rookie year is essentially a wash. 180 yards receiving, 507 rushing, and 3 total touchdowns. Or 507 and 3 total touchdowns. It's been these last 2 years he's popped. He's also trying to do what Terry McLaurin is doing right now, which is to get paid off of the big touchdown year you had. McLaurin had a career high in touchdowns for Washington. He's trying to get paid in that sense. James Cook had an almost otherworldly pop-up in touchdowns, going from 4 in the last 2 years combined to then 16 last season,
even
just
if you
on
go,
the ground.
Even if you go with combined touchdowns, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So like last year, he had 18 combined touchdowns. In the 2 years prior, he's got 9.
Yeah.
Total. 9 total touchdowns, and you double it the next year.
His yards from scrimmage also went down exactly 300.
But the one thing you can go ahead and say is that's even with Josh Allen taking some of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your negotiation power. But how much of it is there really?
Yeah.
Because you have the Bills can say, yeah, well, we have Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He can be our goal line back again, much to the chagrin of some fans. And maybe, you know what, me, I don't like the idea of having to bulldoze the quarterback into the end zone.
The closer he gets to 30, the less you want of that. The tush push is its own sort of entity. The goal line, if you have another guy that can do it.
But even then, they showed last year they're more proficient at running the football with James Cook for a yard than doing the tush push thing.
Yeah. Johnny tweets in, and this is sort of to your point as well, of he's played his last card and he lost. No win situation for him.
Yeah. And you watch the Bills offense with Mitch Trubisky run the football just fine with Ty Johnson.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to have much more say at that point. The Bills will have to start preparing as if to move on without you. And Cook has been there for every install and every meeting.
Yeah, that's
so
the
he team. Also probably knows
yeah.
they're going to move on without me. It's going to cost me money. I have to come back. You know how the deployment's going to work at this point. You get into preseason game number two. Things are about to get dialed up. It's about to get real. And that is where they know what's going on. The players in the meeting rooms, they know what's going on. They know the temperature of what is being measured out. They can't ignore those sorts of things. And mm-hmm. Cook cannot ignore it. When, if it looks like the team's going to have to get ready to prepare without you, it's a pretty simple fix. You just come back.
Especially too, and it's mainly been on the defensive side of things, the Bills have been very good at learning how to live without good players. Whether it be Trey White, Matt Milano, Von Miller, they've learned how to play without them. They have not won a Super Bowl without them, don't get me wrong. But they've learned to continue to be successful and move on. Cook has seen that. He's been around that for all of it.
Right.
And already you're a guy that is not touching the ball 60% of the time, 75% of the time. They can maybe move off of you a lot quicker.
Also, if you really wanted to hold in and make it into the season, tell me there isn't going to be at least a halfway decent running back that's on the waiver wire.
Right, that could be available.
You really want to play hardball? We can move on in a different way. We could drop that guy when you want to come back, but we can move on.
We can
prepare
on.
Without you. And that is probably another degree of this, of like Cook saying, yep, they're getting ready to prepare for Baltimore without me. It's time to come back. It's not working. We're not making any progress. Might as well get back in there. But again, this is all so weird, even for a contract dispute. But now that you think about it, all of them are weird in their own ways.
They all have their own
wrinkles. There are some that are pretty like standard for why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Parsons and Hendrickson in particular, and you go, oh, it's because management is mistreating you, and it's actually being made kind of public.
Mm-hmm.
McLaurin, same kind of thing. You really, really want a certain number. But McLaurin has also had the hold in and even reported to mandatory minicamp and left.
Yep.
So it is a harder stance that he's been taking.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And with Cook, again, it's that you showed up to everything first and then you decide to hold in. But now you're seeing that process being repeated in Pittsburgh. Cam Hayward. Hayward was practicing. Now all of a sudden he's doing the same thing. Why? You just renegotiated something last year. That's a different one. That's weird.
Yeah, that's that. Well, I think not that one. I wouldn't even say just weird. That one, you're not playing the game right.
Yeah, you're actually kind of doing it wrong.
And that's where I am almost always on the side of the. It's not my millions. I don't care. I'm usually on the side of the player. That is where it's in bad faith. You signed the deal 12 months ago, likely in less time, and then you're already upset about it.
It's not something that makes sense. And that one, like at least with Cook, it's more weird on like the timing of everything.
Mm.
Hayward, it's. I don't know if that's disrespectful or not, but like it's definitely not playing the game right, like you said. You're kind of doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sign a one-year contract if you're going to negotiate like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sign something. You can't sign an extension and then expect to come back after 1 year of really good football. Do you think management's coming after you to renegotiate after 1 year if it's not up to par?
Yeah, no shot. No shot.
What are you telling them? Uh-uh.
Yeah. Well, that's what Hendrickson did. Signed the one-year deal with the anticipation. Hey, if you do this again – you know, we'll give you the big deal. And that's where their
problems have
come from.
Cincinnati has not followed through on their end of it.
Right.
And again, the Bengals have made these things kind of public a little bit on their negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, the Hayward thing, like, come on, man. What are you doing?
That one's weirdly been, like, super under the radar.
Like, well, it also only just happened.
Well, no, but, like, with any, like, because there were contract rumblings, but he showed up.
Right.
That one's just been super under the radar because of the TJ Watt stuff. Because
that was
now
the first
finished.
Priority.
Yeah, now that that's finished, he's like, now, wait a second.
Now we're going to make some noise.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones here. Rich is up first. Rich, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, great. Great to talk to you guys. You know what? I might be in the minority. And do I like it that the fact that this guy doesn't talk for 3 years, and when he does, he turns into his brother? You know?
Mm-hmm.
just this whole cryptic thing and stuff. But when you look at it, professional athletes today, no matter how close we are to them, or we can commiserate, or they can show us behind the scenes on an NFL Films kind of thing, this is their chance, their only chance to cash their genetic golden ticket.
Right.
He makes $5 million. To you or me, $5 million is an ungodly amount of money. But your work career might only go to 30s, ours into the 50s mm-hmm. and 60s. He makes $5 million. It's $2.5 million. What is that? That's $250,000 before taxes for 10 years. For the rest of your life. There's people in Clarence, couples in Clarence, who are building million-dollar houses. They make more than that with quote-unquote regular jobs. So I can see why we've all done this with our betting apps, right? Do I cash in now?
Right, yeah.
Or I hope the Bengals get a field goal or don't let up a touchdown on.
Right, yep.
And I think that's what he's doing. And you know what? No offense, but I needed a lawyer to help me close on my house. Do you think these guys don't have a cadre of lawyers, friends, family, mothers in their ears? You got to get me mine, do whatever. It's all of them. I mean, you'd be surprised. We talk about the salary cap. Look at the bottom third of the Bills roster. Again, an ungodly amount of money to you or myself. But in the long term of things, when your career could be over at 28 due to a turf injury in practice, it's not an awful lot of money, especially with the NFL not being guaranteed. So I can see the craziness. Yeah. This kid's got to be going through stuff we don't even know, because his head's got to be on a swivel, and he seems kind of res. He doesn't say too much. And, I mean, when you live in a town where, you know, a quarterback and his wife go out for French fries and it's a big ordeal,
yeah.
You know, I feel for the guy, and I just hope what's best, because as fans, whether he's there, we move on to the next one, so he's got to get in what he needs. So I'm pro James.
Yeah, Rich, thanks for the call. And real quick on that point, too, that's why I've said, like, especially at running back, you got to make a count now.
Yeah, and typically, you and I have said, we're pro player in this sort of thing. You know, like, the owners, I could go on about this all day, but I would rather not. For me, that's why, like, when you bring up Rich, thanks for the call again, when you bring up they have a cadre of people, you know, advisors, agents, everything like that, that's why I think he's getting bad advice from somebody somewhere, that this became so unconventional and weird. And I think there's a disservice being done to him by someone that he's supposed to be paying and or trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I look at the agent's track record with how he handled Shamar Stewart.
And it doesn't make me feel good about how he's going to handle James.
It doesn't make me feel good about how this works out for him in the end. I don't like that for Cook.
Mm-hmm. And while I do say it's not my millions, I don't care. As a Bills fan, you do want them to be somewhat responsible, but you do want as Rich said,
you want the player to be taken care of
their working career that could last to only 30, while we'll go to the 50s. You want to make it big when you can.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a lovely Tuesday morning. The Bills are back at practice. And James Cook is back on the practice field as well. His hold-in may be over. We're not getting any word yet on any kind of contract or anything like that, but we do know he is on the field. Real quick before we take our next time out, though, we did get news yesterday. The College Football AP poll came out, the preseason
one. Oh, here we go.
And
here we go.
Don't even want to necessarily mention Texas, which they are number one. Hook 'em.
It is the week one schedule. It is the week one schedule, and the fact that they faced the number three.
Well, they faced the number three in Ohio State at Ohio State.
I was wondering
We have two other top 10 matchups, all of which will be actually at the home team's home stadium. It's on campus. These are not there. Now, there are neutral site games. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, but I love top 10 matchups being at their homes. Like, be for real.
So we got Texas at
Ohio
State.
Josh, you're being rude.
Horns down. Just stared me in the
like,
eyes.
I'm not even a Texas supporter. You're being rude. Out of pocket, mister.
I'm just holding him down the whole time. Just so
the
you know.
The whole time.
You gotta know.
I think what's terrible is I didn't
well,
love...
Well, now what if
love...
I say about UB horns?
Well, then horns up.
Horns up, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is with Texas...
So don't hold him down the whole time.
All right, fine. One up, one down.
There you go.
One up, one down.
Now, what I don't totally love about Texas being number one, this will be the last thing on this, is...
Oh, here we go.
They don't typically... And I'm not saying they as in Texas. I mean, the number one preseason-ranked team doesn't typically win the national title. And it's a nice thing to have. It does not mean much.
He's a superstitious boy.
Yep. The other two top 10 matchups, at Clemson, number four in the ranked, number nine LSU.
Nice.
And then to wrap up week one on a Sunday night, number 10 Miami hosts number six Notre Dame. Little Catholics versus convicts. Yeah.
Miami's 10?
Mm-hmm. Carson Beck, they're recruiting really well. Miami is slightly back. We'll see in terms of the entire ACC, but they're, for the most part, relatively back. Notre Dame as well. Really, really good. Although they have not named their starting quarterback, and that's a little curious. 803-0550, the number to call. David, we'll get to you if you hold on here after we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.